You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my baby, man. Anything's possible.
Rain of Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and it's me, John Corrales of MassLive.com, trying to figure this out. After the Rain and Jays era is gone, you'll notice that the new Millie's intro was missing a couple of names, all of our names. That had to go, but kept the Rain and Jays at the beginning, partly because I didn't really have anything to edit around that way, and partly because I like it, and it's going to be like a little kind of homage. We're the Rain and Jays. We'll always be the Rain and Jays. We're just doing separate shows. But I, John Corrales, here of MassLive.com, will be continuing the Locked On Celtics podcast. So the first part of this podcast is me just kind of, sort of, explaining what the next chapter of this podcast is going to be. In the second segment, I'll talk a little bit about the Celtics. And in the third segment, we'll start to introduce our new voicemail line. It's a line that's set up specifically to take your voicemails. It's 617-221-6010. So why don't I just start with that? That's going to be one of the ways that this podcast kind of grows and evolves, trying to get your questions, your comments. We always ask for mailbags and we'll continue to ask for mailbags, but this voicemail is just going to be a constant comment line that exists. You can call it anytime you want. It lets me know when you've left a voicemail. I can read it, and then I can download it and put it into the show. So later on in the third segment, you'll get a taste for what that's like. You can do it after games. You can do it during a game. We can just figure out how to use it. I'm not going to use all of them, I don't think, because some of them will be repetitive. Some of them will be maybe too long, maybe whatever. So by leaving a voicemail doesn't guarantee you're going to get on the podcast. And I don't want to turn this into WEEI with long drawn out blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't listen to sports talk radio specifically because I don't want to have that thing there where it's just constant callers. A lot of times they've been fed misinformation and they're trying to parrot back misinformation to you. I want to keep this tight. I want to keep it kind of fun if possible. Leave your comment, whatever, and I will answer it, address it. If I have a co-host with me, we'll both address it. So that's going to be part of this show's future, as long as it works. If we decide it doesn't work and it stops working, then we'll just stop doing it. But that number, 617-221-6010, call it any time. Now, as far as a co-host, I've got a lot of interest. People, as soon as they heard that Jay and Jam were leaving, I was really inundated with people who want to be a co-host on the show, which is awesome. And it runs the gamut. Some fans want to hop on. Some professionals want to hop on. Like, I really appreciate the fact that people see this podcast as a place to I guess, be a part of. You know what I mean? The fact that so many people want to be a part of this podcast is really cool, to be honest with you, to have people reaching out. I think right now, the way I want to do this is to have a rotating kind of circle of hosts and maybe not just have one person just yet. And it's not that I'm doing this as an audition or anything like that. What I think one of the advantages, if you look at something like this that's happened, if you look at it as an advantage and you say, how am I going to use this bad thing, which Jay and Jam leaving, I didn't like it. I understand it. Like, I wouldn't have done anything differently than them if I was in that situation. But as much as that's the end of one thing, it's also the beginning of another. And I have to sit there and say, okay, how do we turn this into a positive? And one way I think for now, turning this into a positive will be to get a bunch of different voices. This way, I mean, yes, I'll be the consistent voice and I will solo some shows from time to time. I know that a bunch of you might not like the solo shows, but maybe post-game shows where it's just quick reactions, it'll be an easy way for me to do a quick solo show. But in other shows, I'm going to bring in a rotating series of hosts. I want to get different types of people on the show so we get a bunch of different perspectives. I have my perspective. I feel like I see things a certain way, and it might not be the same way a lot of you see it. I'm older than a lot of you. Maybe you see things differently because of your age. I played the game. I see things very much from a player perspective. Maybe I don't see it from a certain other perspective. So, and I don't want to make it seem like my perspective is any better or more valid than anybody else's. I want to hear what other people are going to have to say. So for now, rather than me settling on one person to join me on a regular basis, I'm going to see who else, how many other people, old, young, man, woman, everybody has an equal shot at sharing their perspectives and giving me something to think about, which I feel like for me as well, as part of my growth, I want to hear all of these different perspectives as well, because it's very easy when you're doing one show by yourself. I'm sitting here in my office, just sipping a cup of coffee and kind of going off the top of my head, very easy to kind of get into a rut. And I understand that. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to become boring. I don't want to become, you know, there's no interaction. So it is easy. It is for me to talk and keep on talking. I don't want it to be just one voice droning on and on and on. So tomorrow, I'll bring on Tom Westerholm. Tom will be a regular on this show. We work together at Mass Live. I like working with him. We have a good chemistry together. He has a good perspective on things. And so tomorrow, we'll get together. We'll talk about the series that we're running all week long, Celtic Summer Decisions. We'll talk about that over the course of the show tomorrow. And then as I'm at the practice facility, at Media Day, at wherever else the Celtics are, I will try to recruit some other people. I'll also start to incorporate a little bit more player and coach sounds into this rather than me just reacting if I'm soloing a show, rather than me just reacting to this is what, you know, Brad said, blah, blah, blah today. I can actually play a chunk of Brad. So we'll incorporate some of that so you can hear the inflection, the tone, the proper context. I want to make sure that you guys are getting the proper context as much as I possibly can. So I'll be doing that as well. So if you have any ideas, you can use that voicemail line to drop me ideas too. Like, you don't have to just call that to leave something that's for the show. Call it 617-221-6010. Leave me a message and give me an idea. If you think you have some ideas for the show, do that. But I feel like right now, at least as we launch this next generation of Locked On Celtics, this is kind of a good place. We'll have multiple people chiming in. We'll have a section of the show for you, the listener, to give a question or a comment, to add another voice to that. And then from there, we'll figure out what works. It's like cooking. It's like the old KG cooking analogy. You can tell I probably watch a little too much Chopped, but I like cooking as well. And sometimes you have an idea and you put in the ingredients and you say, needs more this, needs less that. Maybe it's terrible. Maybe it's awesome. Who knows? But as we continue on, we'll just keep tweaking the recipe. So I hope you enjoy that. I hope you're sticking with us throughout the course of this. Some of you have said some very nice things. I've read some very not so nice things, but that's how it goes in this business. I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but I will say one last thing before we end this little segment. It's a little different having this be my podcast versus having it been our podcast with me and Jay and Sam. Me and Jay, particularly because Jay and I started this thing. Jay, you heard the story on the Farewell podcast that Jay and I started this whole thing years ago, and he's the one that called me. now that it's my show and I get to make my own choices without worrying about like, hey, what do you guys think about this or whatever? It does kind of open me up a little bit. Like I can kind of be less quarterbacky in the show and maybe a little bit more whatever. Like I'm kind of curious to see how that impacts me, be honest with you, because this being my show now and me being in the driver's seat without worrying about how it impacts these other guys and its successes and failures are strictly on me. I'm sure it's going to drive me in a certain creative direction. So I don't know what that's going to be. That's part of the journey. That's part of growth. And even now in my 40s and as I progress in this industry and in this role, there's always room for growth. And I'm excited about that. So hopefully this brings out another element as well. So I'll leave it there. Really appreciate all of you who are sticking by the show. There's room, I think, in this world for both shows. So there's no reason for people to have to choose unless you really just don't like one of us. But whatever, you don't have to make a choice. There's room, I think, for both shows as well as other podcasts. Like I'm competitive, but it's nothing, no angst or anything. So really appreciate that. Again, 617-221-6010 if you want to give us a call and leave a message. All right, coming up next, a little bit of Celtics talk and then your voicemails. Stick around for more of the Locked On Celtics podcast coming up right after the break.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Few Celtics items out there, including Brian Windhorst on the Hoop Collective podcast, talking about the Celtics that were out in China. Windhorst was out in China, along with Team USA, along with four Celtics who are on Team USA. And he was talking about Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart, and saying they love Kemba. In fact, the quote is, they love him. It's a double-edged kind of thing. Jaylen Brown refused to talk about the past. He was like, that was then, this is now. We're artists painting a new painting. But he basically said that they love Kemba. And insinuated that part of the loving Kemba includes the sort of glad Kyrie is gone. And in that same podcast, Jackie McMullen did kind of say that there was a feeling of don't let the door hit you on the way out. Like everybody was kind of glad. And I mentioned this on the podcast, I believe at the end of last season, where I got a text from someone in the league basically expressing a similar feeling. This was right at the end of the Milwaukee series. I remember sitting there in Milwaukee, waiting for a Celtics shoot-around, talking to this person and getting that feeling from them that, yeah, the Celtics weren't going to be exactly broken up about Kyrie leaving. They have, Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens have been very, very careful to say nothing but nice things about Kyrie, but there was clearly no thank you, Kyrie, or anything like that. Pretty sure there's not going to be a video tribute to Kyrie, and I think it's, at that point, kind of mutual, which is weird, because I don't know what they did, like, and I don't want to rehash this, but really, when you think back about everything, how acrimonious it seems like Boston was just like, fine, go, and Kyrie was like, yeah, I'm gone. It felt like a sort of bad breakup for no real reason, but whatever, he's in Brooklyn now, and they're singing his praises. I find it really interesting, though, that Brooklyn didn't do an introductory press conference for Kyrie yet. Like, Kyrie and Kevin Durant haven't done an introductory, hey, we're Nets now. They didn't do the hold up the jersey thing. They haven't done any of that stuff. So, I think it speaks to Kyrie in his personality. I know that they did, and I think Cedric Maxwell has told this story. There was an end of season kind of ball signing thing. Everybody on the team signs a ball. Just something, part of the little things that everybody has to do. Like, there's 50 basketballs, they get passed around, everybody gives it an autograph, and they give it away to some charity, to some auction, something, and Kyrie just didn't sign the balls. And he was nice about it. Like, he wasn't like, get that thing out of my face, but he was like, no thanks. Just matter-of-factly, no, I respectfully decline to sign this basketball, which is a kind of weird thing to do, even though he might have known that he was gone, or he probably at that point he knew he was gone. Why be a jerk about that? Like, why? It's not about you. It's not about this. It's some kid who's going to get that autographed ball, and somebody who's going to get it, buy it for like charity. Somebody's going to bid like a couple hundred bucks, three, four, whatever hundred bucks it is, to get it signed, to get the signed ball, and you're like, oh, well, Kyrie's not on there. It's kind of a dick move, but he does these dick moves in, like, respectful ways, which is weird. So, anyway, he's gone. The Celtics love Kemba, and I think that's part of the optimism moving forward, that these guys really hit it off with Kemba. I don't think Kemba's going to be very hard to like. Windhorst called it a home run. He said that Kemba will be a home run in Boston. The one thing that Windhorst said, which is going to be interesting to see, he said that Kemba's going to be, I'm not going to get this exactly right, but he said Kemba's going to be great until they need him to be great. I think that's what he said, which is an interesting kind of comment that, and he referenced the game against France, that Kemba was great throughout the tournament until they needed him to be great against France, and he wasn't, which seems to insinuate some sort of pressure getting to Kemba, which is weird because Kemba's kind of known for hitting pressure shots. I mean, hell, cardiac Kemba, UConn. I mean, he steps up, he hits these game winners. So it's an interesting kind of thing for Windhorst to say, well, he's going to be great until you need him to be great. A lot of teams have needed him to be great, and he's been. Charlotte Hornets are highly valuable only because, well, not only because, but mostly because Kemba had made them at least a fringe playoff team, a playoff team a couple of times. That is pressure. And I don't know. We'll see how much of this is correct, but interesting to see the level to which an outside observer says that the Celtics really love Kemba Walker. Brad Stevens spoke recently at a charity golf outing and talked about having these guys around. Kemba has been around since coming back from China, has been around the facility almost every day. Part of this continuation of the conversation and is Brad saying, quote, "My care is that we play with a great effort and togetherness. That's it. That's what we're looking for. That's what we want to be. All the technical basketball plays and system, all that stuff will figure itself out. I feel like we're in a good foundation here, but we've got to play like a Boston team should." That continues the conversation about Kyrie and the entrance of Kemba Walker. And the fact that these guys are in there doing all of these things, as Brad says, feeding red meat to the Boston fans, saying, play like a Boston team should, which obviously we all know. What do Boston fans love more than anything? It's a hardworking underdog, right? That's why all of these guys, like Marcus Smart's a hero. Why? Because he busts his ass, and he's kind of an underdog. He was never supposed to be a great shooter, and he's worked his butt off. He goes out there and makes up for deficiencies by playing like a maniac. That's why people love Marcus Smart. That's why fans in Boston attach themselves to certain kinds of players and don't really fall in love with the Kyries of the world, because they don't care about transcendent talent if you don't care about your own transcendent talent. If you don't show the people love, then they won't show you the love back. And so playing like a Boston team should, that whole concept is big to Brad Stevens. That's the exact kind of coach that he is. That's who he wants to be. He wants to have guys that are going to sacrifice and do these things for the betterment of the team. That was the message that he was trying to get out last season. But going back to the podcast where Windhorse and Jackie McMullen were talking, part of the problem for Kyrie was they didn't run as many pick and rolls for him as he felt like they should have run for him. Meanwhile, the rest of the team, the Tatums and Browns and Haywards of the world, Tatum and Brown especially, thought they ran too many pick and rolls for him, and they just didn't want to be guys standing there waiting for a driving kick. Now, I think with Kemba, now it's going to be interesting because Kemba is a pick and roll kind of player, but maybe not so much the pick and roll kind of player that will dribble as much as Kyrie did. He'll kind of open things up and he'll be looking for other guys, and maybe they can run these pick and rolls with Jalen, with Jason. Hell, we saw Team USA use Jalen Brown in the pick and roll as the pick setter. I mean, that could be a hell of a way to include him in the pick and rolls if they need to run more of those. I don't know how it's going to work yet. We can theorize. That's what we do at this point in the season, September, end of September. We theorize these things, but the reality, I don't know what the reality is going to be until we see it in practice, but these guys like each other more than last year's teams liked each other. And Brad Stevens is enjoying the fact that these guys are in there putting in the work and putting in the effort to play with each other and for each other. That's the biggest thing, playing for each other. So when you make a play, you're doing it to make sure that the team is performing at its best, not necessarily just that you're doing the thing that you do best, if that distinction makes any sense. But again, this is all like really high optimistic stuff. And I know I'm an optimistic person, but we also have to consider the possibility that these guys, this is fun talk right now, but once it's in practice, let's see if you can keep this optimism. Let's see if you can keep this positivity. So I've talked about it on the show before. I think there is a potential for that to not work. There's a potential for a lot of these guys in the same kind of talent stratosphere to have problems with the My Turn stuff again, but we'll see exactly how that pans out as the preseason and early regular season progresses. One final note. Boston Celtics have signed Bryce Brown, an Auburn guard who is going to be, I think, like the 21st player on this team. That's going to be interesting because you only have 20 players. You can only have 20 players signed at this point. So I don't know who's not signed or I don't know exactly how this is going to work. We need more details on this, but Brown, undrafted, was a 41% three-point shooter. I don't know exactly what the Celtics are doing. I'll be honest with you here. They may just be signing him to their G League team. This may have just been when the agent announced it. It may have just been maybe a misspeak. We'll see over the next couple of days what the real signing here is. If somebody else that might have been signed on that Exhibit 10 contract, maybe somebody else is going away, but there's a spot for shooters in the NBA, and they're trying to see if this guy, Bryce Brown, can be a shooter. 6'3", I don't know. They already got a guy that's kind of undersized that can shoot in Carson Edwards, but having a guy like this, maybe they're just bringing him in for the G League. Okay. While we get details on that, we'll take a break. Come back. Your voicemails on the voicemail line, 617-221-6010. The first few voicemails up next on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
To you.
It's the Locked On Celtics voicemail line, 617-221-6010. Leave a question, leave a comment, make it brief, make it fun. Here we go.
Hey, John, it's Jesse. I'm on the road. I hope you can hear me all right. First time, long time. I think you played yourself down a little too much. I think it's going to be great when Jay King and Sam give you some breathing room. You are the backbone of the podcast. You're clearly doing all the work. You're holding it together. I think you were playing yourself down a little bit in the last couple days, and come in swinging on Thursday. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll start off by stroking my ego there. Thanks, Jesse. Really appreciate that. I'm glad that there are people out there that are excited for this next iteration of the Locked On Celtics podcast. So excited for that. I'm looking forward to what Jay and Sam do. I am a big consumer of Celtics stuff. I'm a big consumer of NBA products. I listen to a ton of podcasts. So I'm looking forward to adding them to my rotation. I like to listen to podcasts. I'm a way to the gym, on the treadmill, in the gym. It's a great way to just kind of keep on, you know, bringing stuff in as you're taking care of other things that you're supposed to do. Sometimes I listen to music, but most of the times I'm listening to these podcasts, so I'm excited to add them to my rotation, but I hope you keep us in the rotation. Okay, coming up next, it's Jabari.
Hey, John, this is Jabari. I'm a listener from Georgia, and I just had a quick question. So who's better, Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart? I know briefly on the pod you guys had talked a little bit about how one might have to start over the other. And this morning I saw the ESPN top 100, 100 to 51, and they had Jaylen Brown a full 30 spots, I think, higher than Marcus Smart, which raised a couple of questions for me. So who do you think is better? And if Jaylen Brown is better, is he a full 30 spots better than ESPN saying? Anyway, love the pod. So looking forward to listening. Thanks.
This is a hard one, Jabari, because they're so different. They're such different players, but I think as a better basketball player, overall basketball player, I'm going to say Marcus Smart because he sees things better right now. And I think a lot of this is because experience. Now Marcus Smart's a pretty athletic guy, but Jaylen, I think, is a little bit more athletic. Marcus is not the offensive player as far as individual offensive skills that Jaylen is. So Jaylen is better at that. Marcus, though, sees the floor, understands much better than Jaylen what's happening, what's going to happen next. He recognizes plays. His IQ is just much higher at this point. And it's not a knock on Jaylen. Jaylen's a third-year guy going into his fourth year. Marcus Smart is just, first of all, he's got a very high IQ. He always has. And he's been around the league a little bit more. He understands things just a little bit better. Actually, I wouldn't even say a little bit better. A lot better than Jaylen Brown does. So as a just strictly basketball player, I think Marcus Smart right now is better than Jaylen. Jaylen has the potential to become better. I think ranking him 30 spots better on ESPN, it's such a subjective thing. I mean, it's one person's rankings based on a few different aspects. Like, is Jaylen a much better in transition finisher? Sure. You know, is Jaylen a much more potent scorer? Of course, Jaylen Brown can go out there and really is a threat to drop 15 to 20 points a night. Marcus Smart is never going to be that guy. Now, Marcus Smart can run your offense. Jaylen Brown cannot. Jaylen Brown can guard a bunch of positions, but Marcus Smart is freakishly able to guard a ton of positions, all five positions. So for me, Marcus Smart has much more value in that regard, but it's so hard to really rank these guys at different positions. I don't like doing it, but to answer your question, I see the potential in Jaylen Brown. I can see why people would rank him higher. But right now, for me, it's Marcus Smart. Okay, one more comment before we wrap up.
The Celtics big man rotation is defensively horrendous, and I honestly expect both Embiid and Giannis at least one point in the season to drop 45 points at least, 20 of which come from free throws. I fully expect that to happen at some point in the season. The Celtics have absolutely zero interior defense, and I think it's going to bite us in the ass.
Remember, when you're leaving a comment, leave me your name and where you're from. So say, like anybody else would be leaving a question or comment on a radio, just your name, where you're from, and let me know so I can properly acknowledge you. I think this big man rotation is going to be problematic for sure. I do believe that somebody is going to have a big game against this front court. I wouldn't be surprised if Joel Embiid had a monster game like he has in the past. That's one of the downfalls of this team. And there's a reason why when we were selecting our pick every game prediction thing, none of us really picked them to beat Philly more than maybe once. I didn't pick them to beat Philly at all. That's going to be a problem. And until we see that they are able to compensate for that somehow, I'm just not comfortable picking them against the elite centers in the league. It's a problem. I will say, though, that we have to understand that this is temporary. This is not a finished product. Nobody thought that they are going to recover seamlessly after the departure of Al Horford and Aaron Baines and Kyrie Irving. No one thought that this was just going to turn around and just be a contender again. That those expectations that were there last year to start the season were going to be there this season. 48, 49 wins this season, I think, will be much better received than 49 wins last season. So part of that thing, part of that retooling involves a temporary fix at center while Robert Williams, especially, gets himself ready for NBA level defense. Now, we've seen Robert Williams. I've said this before. Part of why I've said he needs to be in the G League for some extended period of time is because I want to see him get the fundamentals down. He's obviously a freakish athlete. He's obviously going to block a ton of shots. He's obviously going to go out there and do things that are highlight worthy. Mixed into those highlights last season were a bunch of real bad fundamental mistakes. And part of the reason why he had those fundamental mistakes is because he sat on the bench while Al Horford was dealing with his knee soreness, while Aaron Baines was dealing with all sorts of freak things, a broken hand and whatever. And Daniel Tice was dealing with a plantar fascia issue. All of the Celtic centers last year were hurt, and Robert Williams was there either filling in the time or there in case of emergency and not in Maine working on those fundamentals. So however long it takes for him to get those fundamentals down, I am for it. I don't care that he's not ready to play just yet. I want him to be ready to play at his best. And if that's at the All-Star break, great. If that's at the playoffs, great. If that's a month into the season, that's awesome. But I don't want him there playing 10 minutes and not contributing and not really getting the reps that he needs to solidify those good habits. That's what I want. And I think we need to kind of get it in our heads that this year at the center spot is a temporary fix until perhaps Robert Williams is ready or something happens and an in-season trade happens and the Celtics move one of their wings to a team with a bunch of bigs for one of those bigs. Is it Orlando? Is it Indy? Wherever bigs exist that are more immediate help. If the Celtics have a problem with their wings, I wouldn't be surprised if they turn that around and try to get a big at some point during the season. So unless one of those two things happens, the Celtics make a trade for a big that's an immediate impact guy, or Robert Williams gets the reps that he needs and is ready to contribute at a NBA starter level, 30 minutes a game type of play, until those things happen, we're just going to have to deal with the possibility that Joel Embiid is going to smoke the Celtics and drop 45 points and have 20 free throws. So I know it sucks. I don't disagree, but it's something that we just have to deal with for now until they fix that problem. And there are ways for them to fix that problem. Tomorrow, we're back. Tom Westerholm, my partner at MassLive.com, will join us. We have a five-part series on masslive.com right now. It's called Celtics Summer Decisions, and it's five things that part of that is what we've talked about. We definitely address the big man situation, and we talk about other decisions, the Jaylen Brown situation, the extension. So please read that series. We will discuss that series for the Friday podcast. Always 617-221-6010. You can leave a voicemail at any time from anywhere. Leave that number, leave a voicemail at that number, and we will answer questions, comments, whatever, here on the podcast. If you have ideas for the podcast, leave them there as well. I hope that you are enjoying this. If you are a new listener, please give us that subscription. Really, really need that so you can get the content right to your mailbox, right to your device. You can always ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics. And while you're out there, while you're subscribing, if you're a regular listener, if you're on iTunes or somewhere, give us that good written review, give us that five-star rating, and share the podcast. Tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.